There's a new breed of revivalists that are emerging in the earth today. You were born into the greatest hour in all of history. Your job is to prepare the way and to usher in the reign of Jesus into a city and into neighborhoods and workplaces and campuses. This is what we were born for. Nothing else will satisfy you. There has to be a holy dissatisfaction. It says, God, I will not be satisfied until the entire city is saved. What you have to ask yourself is, am I going to be one of those few that says, I don't care if anybody comes with me. I'm going to give myself for revival.
You are listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Welcome once again to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. Here we are with you now, not just once a month, but twice a month. We're like the Reese's peanut butter cups of podcasts.
Double dose.
Well, you get two of them.
Well, what if you it's just a single one wrapped up?
Oh, that's only Halloween.
That's like, yeah, limited edition.
That, and everybody knows you're getting robbed. You're getting...
That's like Easter egg, like size to fit in the egg. Mm, and then
Interesting. We are
I'd say we're like the peanut butter cups where you get two podcasts a month from us of goodness.
All right.
Relevant's not doing that. Jesus Culture is.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, Relevance Weekly.
Relevance Weekly, isn't it? Okay, well, that's a bad example.
So they're like the Kit Kat.
Hey, just let it. They're like the Kit Kat.
We're the Reese's.
We're the Reese's. So. We've all already get Relevant was Relevant Podcast. Their Twitter was like going after me a little bit, saying that we are in competition. So although we do love the Relevant Podcast, and Cameron and those guys are amazing, we're the Reese's of podcasts.
Reese's of podcast
leadership. Well, listen, I'm Banning Leapshire. Welcome to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. I'm the director of Jesus Culture. And as always, I am joined by, this time to my right.
We keep mixing it up.
We mix it up. I'm sitting in a different chair this time.
Yeah, I'm sitting in a different chair too. I'm Zach Curry, the communications director here at Jesus Culture.
And to my left.
I'm Becky Johnson. I'm the project manager here at Jesus Culture. And I'm back.
With a vengeance.
That's right.
You are back.
I've been AWOL.
But the reason you were AWOL was a good reason.
Yep.
Well, it was actually a bad reason, but it's a good cause reason.
Mm-hmm. You helped me see that, yeah.
Yes. So where were you at?
I was at home on the couch. I'm pregnant, but I was really, really sick for just something like 4 months.
Something like 4 months. Well, you were pregnant, though.
Woo!
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Did you survive that 4 months by listening consistently and faithfully to the podcast?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I couldn't even listen to the ones I wasn't on. Is that horrible?
It's a little arrogant, just a smidge. Smidge arrogant.
It was painful.
If I'm not on it, I'm not listening to it.
It's just because I missed you guys.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure that's what
so
it was.
So you couldn't listen to our voice. But
well, congratulations.
Thanks.
But I will say this. Pretty soon, not too long, you will very quickly find that you have no life of your own anymore and that you don't have weekends or anything else. Literally my weekend, last Saturday, one day, I had, in one day, three kids, six sporting activities in one day.
Yeah, I don't know so much about that. My kids are probably going to be more in the fine arts, in the academic field, so.
Academia.
You're going to make them study science over the weekend?
No.
Hey, kids, we got some beakers here and
leaders
some
are
algae
readers.
And some
they're readers,
petri
are they
dishes.
Not?
I will say the difference between me and you, for those podcasts out there, Becky was part of math club growing up. If you are part of a math club, will you please tweet us? We want to know if you're out there. But she was part of
any kind of academic club. If you didn't play sports, so we want to know.
This is why on the podcast, you completely zone out whenever we do it in the game.
Exactly.
Like you have no idea what's going on.
Exactly.
In fact, we were talking about interviewing a guy coming up, and she's like, okay, I don't know who is he? What does he do? Where does he play?
It was a baseball player. She thought it was a basketball player.
We never have Becky interview athletes because she's like, okay, so you hit a touchdown or
exactly.
Did you shoot?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you're right. My weekends may not look like your weekends.
Right, so. So speaking of the fine arts and the whole wonderful world, we had a chance to sit down with Tim Hughes of Worship Central, and it's our music spotlight. Really excited about this one. We talked about the new album, Let It Be Known, and yeah, Zach, you got on the phone with him, so we're going to check out that music spotlight.
We want to share the music that is encouraging us right now. You are listening to the Jesus Culture Music Spotlight.
Well, this is Zach Curry here, and we have the honor of talking with Tim Hughes for our Music Spotlight this month. And Tim, how you doing? Great to be with you here.
Thank you. Yeah, doing really well. Great to be on the podcast. Thanks.
Well, we're really excited. A lot of us have been listening to the new Worship Central album, Let It Be Known. Tell us the heart behind it and what's some of the backstory with that album?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the heart really is that, you know, we have the most incredible, extraordinary story to share. This message of life, of hope, of joy. And it's I think some of the songs I wanted to capture that sense of celebration, put a sense of confidence back into the church that actually, you know, Jesus talks about, you know, out of the overflow of our hearts, you know, the mouth speaks out, and that these songs, this album, we hope it's kind of out of the overflow of lives of worship, that it's kind of, you can't contain it, it's full of passion, it's expressive, it's getting out there beyond the four walls of the church. So I think a lot of it is trying to capture this sense of the message of who Jesus is, what he's come to do, of how he can change people's lives. And I think it's that kind of joy and passion that we sort of tried to capture in the album. You know, some of the songs could think of, you know, the cross stands above it all. You know, it's just really, it's the gospel, isn't it? What Jesus has done, who he is, the power of his love. Again, the same power, what a concept, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives inside of us.
Yeah.
You know, if we truly took that on board, we'd live completely differently. You know, the way we interact with people, the confidence we'd have. So I think we're trying to find songs and themes that people can sing, that they can get them into their hearts, their heads, and that they can sort of begin to transform the way people live, really.
What's another song? I mean, I know the song Let It Be Known is pretty popular.
Yeah.
It's a fun song, too, really upbeat. Got a cool vibe to it. What's the story behind that one?
We just, it's kind of a bunch of ideas. I've been leading worship and had this sort of spontaneous idea of, you know, I sang it out, which is actually very different. You know, it's more, a bit more intense, you know, let it be known that our God saves. And then we write a lot as a team. So we go away for retreats and a bunch of us were writing, and a friend had this kind of cool guitar riff thing. It's much more pop. And we just began singing, and I found myself singing, you know, the words from that spontaneous song, but over this very kind of poppy riff. You know, let it be known that our God saves, our God reigns. We lift you up, up, let it be known that love has come, love has won. We lift you up, 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 up. You know, so it kind of totally changed the feel, but actually, you know, I think there's an element of fun in it, as you said, pop, joy, and you know, I think that's important. You know, the church should be the most amazing party. It should be the most fun place to be on the face of the earth. So it's kind of combined that with this sense of overflow of joy. So that's been a cool thing to see how that song's really connected with people. We're hearing great stories. Just a story the other day, this girl at school, 15-year-old girl, was watching the video we did from the song on her iPhone. And a friend of hers, a non-Christian friend, said, you know, what are you listening to? She played it to her. She said, you know, what's that? And she said, that's my church. And she's like, no way, I've never seen a church like that. So this girl said, look, come to the service. And she came, and at the end of the service, we were praying for people, and this 15-year-old girl, Isabel, turned to a non-Christian friend and said, you know, can I pray for you? You know, real guts. And the friend said, you know, I've got a really bust knee, I can't walk really on it, I can't walk up the stairs, it's been excruciating. And this friend said, well, let me pray for it. Laid a hand on it, prayed for it, completely healed. And now, you know, that message is buzzing around the school, that this church where God heals people. And, you know, it's just exciting to see it all kind of coming out of just someone listening to one of the songs at school and seeing the fruit of that. So we're excited about this message getting beyond people who just attend church.
What would you say, because we have, for the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast, a wide range of leaders, young and old, and all different realms of society, some in ministry and some in other areas influencing culture. What would you say to leaders as an encouragement or even a challenge as they go out to impact? I mean, that story you just shared is incredible. But we can all do that. I mean, you use the gift of music and leading people into the presence of God through music and through that sort of expression. But what would you say to other leaders, even beyond, as key to walking out exactly what you're saying is the heart of what you guys, why are you even doing what you're doing?
I mean, I think one of the big things I'm finding more and more is the power of team. You know, working with friends and really trusting other people. I think that kind of just leading on your own, you know, all the responsibility, everything just resting on your shoulders. I don't know how healthy a model that is. I think what I've seen in the church I'm involved in, it's a group of friends who love one another, who really love Jesus, who are passionate, who want to make a difference, but who spur one another on. Because, you know, I've been in leadership, you know, for well over 15 years, and there's moments where everything just feels like it's humming. It's, you know, everything you touch seems to go well. And then there are times where it's hard work and feels like there's disappointments or setbacks. And it's in those moments where you really need that team of friends to say, we've got this vision, we're going to keep on going, we're not going to give up. And I think that's important to identify those people around you who you really enjoy being with and you know you can serve together. And, you know, whatever that is, business, your school, your church, wherever.
That's so good. That's so true. Well, Tim, we thank you so much for being with us. We love you guys.
Thank
we
you.
Love what you're doing. We want to encourage all of you that are listening. You got to check out Let It Be Known, the latest worship offering music album from Worship Central. And man, I personally love it. I was just listening to it this morning. So we love you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for the time.
Well, thanks for all you guys are doing.
Hey, bless you. Thanks, Tim.
All right, mate.
You're listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. And we are excited because the topic of this month's episode is stewarding influence. And we have a huge, huge heart for seeing leaders raised up and going into every realm of society. And it's part of the reason we even do this podcast is to equip leaders. And as part of the Jesus Culture movement, we have a thing called the Culture Project, but we're trying to highlight leaders who are making a difference, releasing the kingdom of God in every realm of society. And this month, as we were talking about the episode and what we wanted to emphasize, we really felt like honing this in a bit to specifically the topic of influence, and then how we as leaders steward the influence that God's given us. It's one thing to cast vision and say, hey, go change your world. Influence the culture, influence the place that God's given you influence. It's another thing to look really closely at the area that you specifically have influence and really step back and analyze and say, hey, how am I stewarding that? And what we did, we want to talk about this just briefly, but we actually caught up with several leaders who are in various realms of society. And we just asked them some simple questions about what is influence and how they steward it. Because we feel like for you as a leader, sometimes, you know, we're looking at, I don't know about you, but for me as a leader, I'm looking ahead. I want to grow in my influence to impact and release change and do well with the gifts that God's given me. But I've noticed in my own life, a weakness I might have is I'm looking ahead or I'm trying to grow or increase or, impact broader or wider realms. And I sometimes forget to look at the influence I already have and make sure I'm stewarding that well, make sure I'm really personally growing, or I'm are focusing on the team that it's around me. It could range from a whole wide topic of things based on where you're at, but the principle is still the same. Is we have a responsibility to steward what God's given us. And the Bible says, you know, there's the principle of giving. When we give, it will be given unto us. And you know the story in Matthew that talks about the talents, and you know, one's given much, and you know, we have something that God's given us now, and it can increase, but we need to look at it, what's right in front of us, and make sure that we're not looking so far ahead that we're overlooking what we need to do right now.
You know, I know that influence is an interesting word, you know, as far as like we're looking for influence or wanting to grow in influence. John Maxwell, in a book, Developing the Leader Within You, he pretty much says leadership is influence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And if leadership is influence, everybody has influence.
Mm-hmm.
You have some realm of influence. You may not have influence, you know, over thousands, mm-hmm. but you have influence over somebody,
mm-hmm.
and over a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just brilliant, the idea of like, what are you doing with the influence you currently have?
I know for me, I love to call myself the young leader of the group, because I am, really. So that's a side note. So as a young leader...
You're about to be a mother, so I'm pretty sure pretty soon you're not going to be able to...
A young mother.
Yes.
I'm always looking down the road, and as I'm thinking about my future and hoping to gain more influence, and what is that going to look like, and how many people will that be? And, you know, it definitely is easy, like you said, Zach, to kind of get caught up in where you're going and kind of overlook exactly what Banning said. The influence I have right now and what's in front of me, and you know, my friends, my family, my spouse, like we're all influencing someone, and it's just so important to pay attention to what are you doing with the little bit that you have now before jumping ahead and focusing too much on what's coming down the road. Yeah.
Well, Zach, you were able to sit down with some leaders recently and talk about this subject, so
we'll take a quick break and we'll go right to those interviews.
Jesus Culture is coming to Los Angeles this summer, July 22nd through the 24th at the Gibson Amphitheater at Universal Studios. The Jesus Culture Conference, Los Angeles. Come and join us for 3 days of seeking the Lord through worship and preaching. Speakers include Reinhard Bonnke, Russell Evans, Scott Thompson, Havilah Cunnington, Kim Walker-Smith, and Banning Leisure.
God is moving in a generation like never before, and our response must be to give everything we have to that.
With worship from Christine DeMarco,
Brian and Katie Torwalt,
Derek Johnson, and Chris Kilala, Kim Walker-Smith, and the Jesus Culture Band.
All that I have is yours.
Join us as we gather together to seek God for an awakening in a generation. Jesus Culture Conference, Los Angeles, July 22nd through the 24th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Register today at jesusculture.com/LA.
All right, well, the topic for this episode is stewarding influence. And like we said, we've been catching up with just different leaders in various realms of influence. And we have with us today Mike Frank. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Mike, tell us kind of your area of focus and what you've been doing most of your life in the realm of business.
Yeah, I'm in the marketplace. I'm a business guy. I've spent virtually all my career in the business arena. And I've worked for major companies you probably all heard of, companies like Pepsi and the Walt Disney Company. I've been the founder of several companies and kind of a serial entrepreneur the last few years. I've been an investor in a lot of different companies. So I pretty much view the business realm or that sphere as the place where I do ministry.
In that realm, we're asking a variety of leaders, how do we steward the influence that God's given us, as little or as great as it is? And so I want to ask you, just based on your background, how would you define what influence is?
Well, you know, when I was in some of these big corporations, we had individuals, obviously, there were a lot of individuals that had pretty big titles, and they had areas of responsibility where they were responsible for a lot of people or a big budget or, you know, a big part of the P&L of the company. But then we also had these other guys who were what I would call individual contributors. And they were always an interesting group to me, because what they said and what their opinion was mattered just as much as some of the guys who had the bigger titles. And I had a word for that that I used a lot, and it was called clout. And clout is really when, you know, you speak with authority, you can say things at the right time, and it has an impact in an organization or among a group of people. And so you don't need to have the title. You don't need to have the legal authority to speak into some things. If God gave you that kind of an authority, you could just be one individual contributor and still influence a big organization. So that really made me rethink influence.
What would you say to the leaders that are listening in a wide range of areas where they have influence? What's a nugget you could pass on to stewarding the influence that they have?
Yeah, you know, I coach a lot of guys. Over the years, I've coached a lot of CEOs. And here's what typically happens as life evolves for most of us, is that all of us have six basic human needs. Spiritual is one of those. Financial is one of those. Your health is one of those. Social, intellectual, and relational. And if any of those six areas are out of whack in terms of you're not paying attention to them, it's almost like this wheel. And if the wheel isn't round, it hobbles, if you know what I mean. It kind of goes around, then it clunks, it goes around, then it clunks. And so one of the things I try to do as I coach people in terms of leaders is you need to make sure that, and I don't use the word balance, because I think balance says it's kind of an objective you can't hit. What I use is a word called harmony. And if you can get those six areas of your life working in harmony, that's a life that works, and that's a life that I've personally witnessed that carries a lot of authority and influence in any arena that I go in.
That's really good. Well, thank you, Mike, for taking some time to talk with us. And if you want to check out Mike Frank, his book, I'll do a plug for you because it's incredible. I've read it. His story is called Prosperity with a Purpose by Mike Frank. Definitely just an incredible story of stewarding the influence and even your journey and where God came into that story and even showed you even greater influence. So thanks for catching up with us. This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Jesus Culture.
On the phone, we have with us a good friend of ours, Bill Osten. How you doing?
What's up, Zach? How you doing, brother?
Oh, so good. Bill's a great friend, and he's also a captain in the United States Army, serving as a JAG lawyer, and we were able to catch up with him to interview him, and we love you, Bill, and also just have to state that the answers and the things that you're sharing do not represent the United States Army, but are your personal views. We want to make sure to clarify that, but man, how have you been?
I'm doing great, man. I'm just enjoying life, you know, reading books on Becky's Book Nook, because, you know, her Book Nook club just completely outranks, you know, banning sorry excuse. So, I mean, I feel well-educated, I feel well-read, and
nice.
I don't waste time with Bam's Book Club, so I feel great today.
I know, and I've got to say, we are stoked. You're one of the loyal podcasters out there, so... And a Becky's Book Nook fan. I don't know how Banning's going to take that, but I think your friendship will survive. Well, we're talking about stewarding influence, and you're in the realm of in the military, but it goes even beyond that. As you're a lawyer as well, a JAG lawyer, and we want to ask you these three questions we're asking these different leaders, but specifically for you as a leader and what you do in your role. What does influence look like to you, or how do you define influence?
I think influence is best described as the ability to effectuate change in another person's life based on the quality of your own life. I've seen, and currently I'm with a special forces unit, and you know these guys, if I came in, you know, knocking down the doors with my Bible and saying, "Hey, Jesus this, Jesus that," they would effectively cut me off, but I've been here for 3 years now. They've seen the quality of my life. They've seen Christ through my actions more so than my words. And I've seen people have a difference in their life because of based on my lifestyle, the choices that I've made. And I think that's where true influence comes, is when you can actually effectuate change in someone else's life based on the quality of your life.
For those of you that don't know Bill as well as we do, we've had you on our Culture Project panel and some of our past events, and just heard stories of, you know, you get a wide range of opportunity to lead and influence. And so what does it look like for you? And I think that's a perfect definition of that. How do you personally steward the influence God has given you, obviously in your role right now, but just in your life as a leader as well?
Well, I think there's two things that I try and focus on every day, and one is living a life marked by integrity and character, and two is living a life marked by passion. Mm. If you live a life of integrity and passion, that is going to make you stand out, and that is going to bring glory to God.
Take it one more step. What would you share specifically on this topic? What's a tip or something you would challenge them that they can steward the influence God has given them?
I would say, actually, Banning spoke about this on his last podcast and appropriately got made fun of because it was kind of cheesy, but I will echo it. Banning, I'll give you a shout out. Leaders are readers. I mean, that's just the bottom line, is that if you want to lead and all these things that we're talking about and all these wonderful ideas that are being thrown out on the podcast, whether people realize it or not, a lot of it is emanating from books that we as young leaders have read and then put into practice. Mm. So I would say that no matter where you are, what job you're doing, how old you are, you should be finding some books to read and continuing your education through that way. Some of the greatest leaders that we've had in the history of the world, whether they're Winston Churchill, Teddy Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan, they have all been self-educated men. Mm. You don't necessarily need to go to school and get a doctorate or a, you know, some kind of PhD or master's. A lot of these guys that were world leaders and world changers were actually self-educated men, and they were voracious readers. So you're never going to go wrong with reading, you know, putting down the TV, the remote control, putting down the Twitter feed, and you're never going to go wrong with reading the book.
I think we need to get you on the podcast again. And this was too long, but specifically in I was going to say Banning's Book Club, but it looks like you would choose the Book Nook, Becky's Book Nook. But I think we need to get you on because I would love to hear some of the books you've been reading and have you recommend something to our podcasters.
I'd love to do it, man. Anytime. I'm a Jesus Culture groupie, so anytime.
Hey, well, we love you, and thank you so much for taking the time to share, and just incredible stuff. We're going to keep on this topic of stewarding influence. This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. We'll be right back.
We are very pleased to inform you that your name has been added to the Dean's List for this term. You are among a very select group of students, and as a result, the Dean of Leadership Development has some very valuable information he would like to share with you. We applaud you and extend our congratulations to your family. Keep up the good work. This is the Dean's List.
Welcome back to the Dean's List segment of the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. My name's Dean DeGuara, and we want to continue to help you with what's helping us here at Jesus Culture. Well, I'm really excited about who's on the Dean's List today. You know, one of the greatest things about social media as it pertains to your leadership is that you have an opportunity to connect with influential leaders that you're unlikely to connect with otherwise. I've made some really good connections this year through my blog at deandeguara.com, and one of those connections has been with Margaret Feinberg. You know, Margaret was recently named one of the 50 women most shaping culture in the church today, and Charisma Magazine said that she was one of 30 voices who will help lead the church into the next decade. Now, Margaret has multiple resources that you can check out at her blog at margaretfeinberg.com, but especially I want to draw your attention to around her challenge to live our lives wonderstruck as leaders. Let me just read you a quick excerpt from her blog. When we choose to faithfully pray for wonder, we can't remain the same. A prayer for wonder invites God to begin transforming us from the inside out. When we pray for wonder and live eyes wide open to wonder, the tone and tenacity with which we live our lives changes. We become expectant to catch glimpses of God in ways we've never seen Him before. We begin dismissing mere chance and embracing divine appointments. Listen, Margaret's blog is jam-packed with rich content and resources for you as a leader and as it pertains to your pursuit of God. Well, until next time, that wraps it up for this segment of the Dean's List.
You're listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again here. This was part one of this month's Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Part one, which is you have just eaten the first Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
That's
but
right.
In just a couple weeks, you're going to get the second one.
That's right.
It's like delayed. Yeah. Delayed gratification.
Well, that's really delayed gratification.
That's really delayed.
You let it sit for a couple weeks.
Yes. You might want to put it in a baggie so it doesn't get a little stale. We will.
Ziploc that bad boy up.
Put it in the fridge. Come back to it later.
It's coming.
So we'll be back for part two, but we love having you here with us. And
see you in a couple weeks.
That's right.